Under cover of darkness, criminals steal and destroy. We speak of bringing their deeds to light as they face justice. The light cuts the darkness like a knife. It reveals our hearts the way they really are. Today, let the light of God's Word cut through your illusions and show you what God sees when He peers into your soul. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series explains why good people do bad things. Dr. Lutzer comes now with a message on the healing power of the light.
There is a story about a woman whose husband, she suspected, was having an affair with a woman at work. But he was the kind of a man who never admitted to anything. He was always defensive, always right, one of those controllers that we spoke about in the last message in this series. And so she knew that it was not going to be a happy experience. He was not just going to quickly say, yes, I'm guilty. So she set up a series of opportunities for him to confess to the truth. First of all, she said to him, I want you to know that I suspect you in this regard. And he became defensive and angry. Why don't you trust me? You're always too suspicious, etc. Plan number two was she took a member of the church who had seen him downtown with this woman, and the church member confronted him, and he gave some very convincing alibi, and so he didn't admit. Number three was she confronted him with the ex-husband of the woman with whom he was suspected to be, and who said that he saw them in the apartment together, but this man stared him down, told him he was a liar, and that was the end of that. Finally, plan number four was videotapes. She had hired an investigator who videotaped some experiences and scenes, which nailed it. Now, here's what I want you to understand. His response was this: okay, I'm having an affair, but what's the big deal? The human heart revealed for what it is. First of all, we deny our sin. That's step number one. And after we have been found out and have to confess, step number two is minimize it. What's the big deal? Why is it that truth has to be extracted from us sometimes, like one might use tweezers to extract a splinter? Why is it that we aren't more open and more truthful? Well, you know, the human heart, the Bible says, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? One time I had the unhappy responsibility of confronting a man with what we suspected was an adulterous relationship, and he said, if I am lying, may God strike me down dead. Mercifully, God did not strike him down dead, but God did eventually reveal that the man had been lying to me. Yesterday, I looked at the book, The Day Americans Told the Truth, and I read it years ago, or parts of it, and frankly, I couldn't take too much of it because it is so depressing. You look into the human heart and you realize that, what is it, 92% of people say that they lie at least every week, and then you get beneath that and you discover that there are those who are willing to turn away from their families and abandon them forever for $10 million, and you're scratching your head and saying, are we really that evil? Are we really that bad? And the answer, unfortunately, is yes, we are. There are so many different kinds of lies, aren't there? There's the lie that people sometimes tell to protect others. Sometimes they're little innocuous lies. We say to somebody, you know, you're really looking good in that suit. And it's the kind of lie they love to hear, by the way. And yet in our hearts we're saying, you look good in that suit, but I want to know, you know, what street corner did you find it on? You know, in our hearts we're... Sometimes we lie, though, to protect ourselves. We may shape the truth, and then we may even lie about others, as we talked about evil in the last message. Sometimes there are people who live a lie. They don't say a word, they just live a lie. Many years ago, a woman came to me with a very interesting story. She was at work, and she decided to go home in the middle of the day to pick something up. And she discovered her husband in ladies' clothes prancing around the living room. I often thought to myself it would have been interesting to have a tape recorder there to tape the discussion that took place at that particular incident. She did not know that she had been married to this man. She really did not know him, though they had been married together for 15 years. This is a series of messages titled, Why Good People Do Bad Things. And what we're discovering is that there are really two parts of it, and we'll see this again in the next message. There seem to be two parts. There's that part of us that wants to be noble and good and helpful, and then there's that other part that is very deceitful and can be very, very difficult to pin down. This message is not going to be an easy one to hear. It's not an easy one to preach, because today we're really going to probe right down and shine the light of God's Word deeply into our souls. And for some of you, it is going to be painful, but I want you to know that the purpose for pain is healing. In no sense is it my intention to simply increase your guilt. Sometimes people complain. They say, you know, we go to church and all that we do is come back guilty. That's not my intention at all. My intention is to take a good look at what is in the human heart, and I don't want you to leave with guilt. I want you to leave with God. That's the intention. That's where we're going in this message. What you find in the Bible is that the motif of darkness and light is used throughout, the darkness representing sin and the light representing God, His Word, and truth and honesty. And there are going to be two passages we're going to look at. The first is in John chapter 3, where Jesus is talking actually to Nicodemus. And then the second passage will be in 1 John chapter 1. I'm picking up the text, for lack of time, right smack in the middle of the discussion at verse 19 of John chapter 3, where Jesus said, "This is the verdict, light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what he has been done through God." Let's talk first about some of the characteristics of those who walk in darkness. Let's talk about those characteristics. Jesus said that those who, this is the verdict, light has come, men love the darkness rather than light. Left to ourselves, without the intervention of God's grace, without the intrusion of His light, we are lovers of darkness. And the reason we love the darkness is that the darkness is more consistent with our desires. We do what we want to do, and darkness enables us to do that. And then we learn to manage any guilt. And of course, in today's society, what you have is people who believe that guilt is simply a feeling that has to be unlearned. And so they think of ways to unlearn it, to lessen the pain of the guilt, and then you have the opportunity of doing what you want to do. And the way in which we rationalize is, first of all, we find someone who's worse than we are. You know, in talking with people, I seldom meet any person who doesn't say, well, you know, of course I've made some mistakes, but I'm not a bad person. And so we put the best face on ourselves, because there are people who are worse than we are. And so that makes us feel pretty good. And then the other thing that we do is we do good deeds so that we can point to good things we've done. I remember a friend of mine said that as a teenager, one day he came home from school and he mowed the lawn without being told he had to. And his mother said, well, what have you been up to now, you know? So what we do is we use good deeds to cover and balance off some of the not so good deeds. So men love the darkness, the Bible says. And secondly, I want you to notice that they hate the light. That's what the text says here, expressly. Everyone who does evil hates the light, verse 20. We don't like to be exposed. We don't like God coming and showing us our sin. We don't like the Bible. By nature, we want to turn from it if we are lovers of darkness. Now, those of us who are lovers of light, of course, we love the Word. But what you find today is that people disparage the Bible so that it gives them the freedom to do what they want to do. And there is hatred toward that book. Men hate the darkness, the light rather. Men hate the light. I remember on a farm, we had a musty old basement, and we didn't have electricity in my early years. I guess that dates me a little bit, but then we're talking about Canada, where they were not quite up on all the modern things like here. And we used to go downstairs either with a lantern or a candle or a lamp. And it was incredible just to see all those bugs scurry. I mean, all these little furry things were heading for somewhere. And that's the way we are. That's the imagery of the light coming to shine. It is a painful light. It is a painful experience to finally reach an objective standard that is holiness. It's very painful. So the Bible says that men who love the darkness hate the light. Third experience is, and this gets more tricky now, they think that they are walking in light. They confuse light with darkness. Now, I'm going to invite you to turn to 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to be in there for the rest of this message. 1 John chapter 1, where we have this amazing motif of light, darkness, continuing with all kinds of insights. John says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Wow, just uninterrupted, beautiful, holy light. "If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live by the truth." Now that's verse 6. The first thing that we do, and he is writing to people who were Gnostics. Maybe you're not acquainted with that word. Gnosticism believed in enlightenment, that there was a feeling of enlightenment that one could have. So Gnostics were into light too. The problem is their light was actually darkness. The Bible says, "Woe to those who call light darkness and darkness light and good evil and evil good." These Gnostics were the New Agers of the day. In fact, books have been written to show that the modern New Age movement is nothing but a revival of ancient Gnosticism. So you had people say, "Okay, I've got all this sin in my life. I'm walking in what is disobedient to the scriptures, but I'm having fellowship with God too. My God is accepting me." Well, my friend, today, someone has well said that the human heart has an infinite capacity for self-deception. And when you begin to think that darkness is light, that deception, of course, has reached no bounds. This is Pastor Lutzer. I'm urging all of us today to come to the light, which is to come to the Word of God, to come to Jesus. And the reason that we know he is the true light is because he not only has the qualifications of one who is the true light, but there's something else about Jesus. When we come to him, we begin to know that he is telling the truth about us, the truth about our hearts. He is not letting us get away with self-deception. In his presence, everything is open. Everything must be honest. I urge you today to come to the light for healing and for help.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with The Healing Power of the Light. Another message on why good people do bad things. Tomorrow, more on what the light reveals. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. You're hearing Why Good People Do Bad Things. This series is now a book, which we'd like to send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.